From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtime's a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you think about Usher out there doing his thing?
I got to keep it honest, bro. I didn't even watch it. I took that time to finish my season playing. I'm in mid-season in Major League Baseball, the show. I'm a pitching DH for the Pirates, and we rolling right now. So I took that time to roll me one up and play a couple games on Major League Show, but I heard it was dope.
Welcome back to Unplug, your weekly recap. Jack, tough day for the Niner gang yesterday, but great game. But let's start with Patrick Mahomes. This dude's incredible. 3 championships in 5 years, 3-1 in the Super Bowl. Only loss comes to Tom Brady. When you think about guys who've started their career, not many have started off this hot. I mean, Magic Johnson comes to mind. Tiger Woods comes to mind. But when you see Patrick Mahomes out there doing his thing, Jack, what comes to mind?
He's special, man. I mean, he's getting up to a great start, you know. He's got to the point where people are not talking about what's finding the next Tom Brady. They're talking about finding the next Patrick Mahomes. And the way he's starting off his career, the MVPs and the championships so early in his career, he's definitely on pace to be the best quarterback ever. And I just think that with the coaching staff he has, the way he's developed the last couple of years with guys like Travis Kelce and other guys coming along, they still got a young team. So he really can break a lot of records. But as a quarterback, definitely one of the best I've ever seen.
And then this is all due respect to Brady. You know, Brady's got 7 of them things, and Mahomes has 3 with 3 Super Bowl MVPs. But, you know, most quarterbacks get better as they age, and barring any serious injury, it's not crazy to think that Mahomes can be the best quarterback ever. And my question is, do you have to have 7 to be the best? Because it's not always rings that get you, you know, there. But, you know, great performance by him. I was
terrified when he got the ball back in overtime. First of all, I didn't understand why we didn't defer. I guess the guys are talking about now, they didn't know the rules. But I feel like the Niners had their chance, man. Nothing to hang their heads on. I think Purdy played well. If you hate on Purdy by now, I think you're just a hater. McCaffrey did his things. Debo came back after tweaking his hamstrings. Prayers out to Greenlaw, man. He tore his Achilles, man, getting ready, getting hype on the sideline and ready to run on the field. That was a huge loss. He's one of our best linebackers. But, I think the block PAT was huge. And then the punt that hit the blocker's ankle where McCloud tried to get it and Kansas City got it.
That was
really
big.
Really gave them momentum, man. But, happy for them guys. Again, I'm a Niner fan, but Mahomes played his ass off. Kelce played his ass off. The rest of the team did their thing, man. So definitely salute to the Chiefs. Jack, where did Usher rank in performances? First of all, I want to say shout out to Jay-Z and Roc Nation, because these performances of late have kind of crossed over into hip hop and our genre and mixing different styles and different artists to really make a halftime show. And that's not saying in the past it wasn't great, but I just feel like since Jay and them have jumped on, I think the energy has changed around the Super Bowl performances. But what did you think about Usher out there doing his thing?
I got to keep it honest, bro. I didn't even watch it. I took that time to finish my season playing. I'm in midseason in Major League Baseball, the show. I'm a pitching DH for the Pirates, and we rolling right now. So I took that time to roll me one up and play a couple games on Major League Show. But I heard it was dope.
Let me tell you about it then, and I'm not mad at that. Usher and Alicia Keys, I'm sure you've probably seen the video of when Usher and Alicia are doing their thing, and I see a meme about there like me driving to go see Oh Boy is like the new meme. I saw a couple people send it to me this morning, but I look at it as art. You know what I mean? Obviously, like actors in a movie, Alicia and Usher have some chemistry. You know what I mean? And I think everyone wanted to take it to the next level. The Swifts need to go see Usher. But I didn't think I thought it just made the performance dope. You know, they definitely had some chemistry. And this is coming from someone that had to make a trip and go see somebody. But at the same time, I just think that was music. It was a different situation. I first thought that Jermaine Dupri, somebody I love, someone so important to the music game, was CeeLo when he first popped up on the stage. And then he had the Sunday Girl church socks on with the ruffles at the bottom. But outside of that, man, Little John came in and did his thing. Ludacris did his thing. Shout out her. Her came through with the electric guitar. She was killing it. She held it down for the West Coast. But overall, man, shout out to Usher. Definitely did his thing. Shout out to Jay and Roc Nation for just making these Super Bowl performances. They continue to get better. Definitely a top five.
What's your number one performance?
I don't know, man. Michael Jackson was dope. Back, I saw it as I got older, obviously. I heard Charlamagne talk about Prince, and they say what made Prince's shit so dope was when he's singing Purple Rain, God just started showering down raindrops on him. Rihanna's shit was dope. Obviously, last year, Snoop and Dre, that was dope. So there's a lot of them, man.
Prince and MJ, my top. Prince and MJ.
Those are your two?
Yeah.
Ain't mad at that. Kelce almost bumped Andy Reid's big ass down. And obviously, shout out to Andy Reid. Man, three Super Bowls in 6 years. Climbing the ladder in the wins is going to go down as one of the greatest. But Kelce, energy. I feel like people were saying if this was so-and-so, so-and-so would have happened. I don't care about none of that shit. I feel like, Jack, if Andy Reid ain't got a problem with it and that's the kind of relationship they got, we should all leave it alone. But what was your thought when you saw Kelce and Andy Reid?
When I answer questions the way I like to answer questions, I like to answer from experience. And people always say, well, why you always got to make it about you? No, experience is the best teacher. So that I put myself in a situation and I can speak on it because I understand it. Coaches like that love players like that. As soon as they ask Andy Reid about it, he said, I don't mind. I love it. That's the passion. He's done it before. The reason why I say that, I've been in times where I came out of games and got into it with coaches, stood up and cursed pop out. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the game, when we won that championship, he the first one hugging me the most power from me. So if you've never been in that position with a coach, have you never been through the grind of starting the season, going through the ups and downs and making it to being able to say you the best in the world, you won't understand the things that go into that. But you have those moments, and that's what builds character. That's what make you grow as a coach and as a player.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. If they ain't got no problem with it, I don't see why anybody else should have a problem with it. Super Bowl commercials, Jack, used to be the shit. I'm sure you didn't watch none of them because you was probably doing stuff in between the commercials. But I wasn't real.
Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
I didn't. it was cool, you know, with all the personalities and thing, but nothing really jumped out to me. They said, I read something earlier that Jesus had a budget this Super Bowl. He put $14 million out there to spread his word. I'm not mad at that. Scientology snuck in there. Dunkin' Donuts. Arnold Schwarzenegger was pretty good, but I don't know. Maybe I missed it. I just wasn't necessarily feeling the Super Bowl commercials this year.
Yeah, it ain't the same no more. You know, it was a time, Matt, where, you know, everybody had to watch the Super Bowl and watch it on TV, where now people are watching other people watch the Super Bowl and watch other people talk about it. So it don't make no sense to spend that money on a commercial no more, because everybody's not watching the actual Super Bowl. They're watching other people talk about it instead of announcers on the TV, because you might want to watch guys like us. We smoke and talk about the game. You might watch some other people, you know what I'm saying, that drink beer. And so it's so many different ways to watch the game and enjoy it the way you want to right now. I don't think paying that money for a commercial is worth it no more, where you can just put that same commercial on social media.
Jack, recently, a little bit of back and forth internet with comments, I guess, you made about Austin Rivers. Austin was talking to the tune of Bronny not wanting, or him not wanting Bronny to play with Bron, and I'm paraphrasing, to not be in LeBron's shadow. He said a similar situation with his pops, and his work was discredited because he played for his dad. And you came and said some shit. What was that all about?
First off, let me say this, bro. I don't have no problem with Austin Rivers. I ain't want to run up on the little dude and knock his teeth out. I don't want to do nothing like that. I have no problem, no beef with him. But all basketball players don't think each other was good. I'm not the first to say that. I'm not the last to say that. And that's just what it is. And then again, what he's saying is you and Bronny and Bron and his dad is not the same thing to me. Doc Rivers is not LeBron, and you not LeBron. I'm not saying that he wasn't better than Bronny in high school. He was, but the lifestyle and the player, the things that Bronny grew up under as LeBron's son, you didn't grow up under that as Doc's son. Nigga, it's not the same. And that was my point. Hey, listen, I know I was better than him. I ain't got to prove that to nobody, but if a basketball player doesn't think that another basketball player wasn't good, that's his opinion. We have that experience, and I ain't got no knock against him. I'm real cool with his pops. I just don't think he was a good NBA player.
Fair enough. He was a monster. He was a monster in college, though. I ain't gonna lie.
And that's the first thing people say when they wasn't good in the NBA.
Nah, he was a beast in college. He did his thing a little bit with the Clippers, too. Things got funny with the Clippers. I'm gonna keep it G with you. Is when Doc came in, you know, some say Austin was on his way out. He comes in and gets a spot. What was crazy, though, is we all went to...
It wasn't... Oh, stop. This is unplugged. Stop.
Listen.
He wasn't
listen.
On his way out. No other team wanted to pay him. And listen. His daddy paid him. Now, go ahead.
But that was before... I'm talking about how we even got him. Because we went and had a conversation. We wanted to grab Nate Robinson. And he didn't want to grab... They didn't want Nate Robinson to come before the playoffs, because I felt like he wanted to give Austin that chance to shine. And then Austin did his thing against Houston in this one game. I'm not even going to lie to you. He was killing. But what got funny was when he got the bread, and this is not none of us hating on nobody getting no bread.
That's our respect for talk.
Austin got way more money than me, Jamal, and JJ. And we was the one putting in all the minutes and a lot of the work. So that's when it got a little funny on that side. But when I look back, I'm not even to now being older. In the moment, I'm like, what the fuck? But now I'm like, dog, if I had an opportunity to give my motherfucking son some money like that, too, I'm going to do the same motherfucking thing. So I ain't even mad about it. But that was obviously, you know, that was something that went back and forth. And I think there's kind of, Jack, there's been a little bit, I wouldn't even say disconnect, but I mean, lately in the air, there's some funk between older. And I would say we're obviously getting on the older side. And then this newer generation, you see the Aiden Ross kid and Joe Button's into it. You saw the Kai guy not know who Killer Mike was.
Killer Mike.
With the Grammys. It's an interesting take because, obviously, you know, I have younger kids, so I get both sides. And I think it's really more on the older, on us to really understand. And we don't obviously have to agree, but I think it's more on us to understand what these younger dudes are talking about, because they're not going to take the time to understand our perspective. You know, I think us with more experience, more knowledge, they're just going to write us off as old motherfuckers. You know, because they are the next wave. And that's how when we're younger, you think about it. When you're 18, 19, you don't want no 40 plus motherfucker. You old. What you talking about? You know what I mean? So I think it's upon us to really understand this next generation, because they'll write us off from a standpoint of they don't care if we understand them or not, because they're now. So I just think there's a lot of back and forth right now. It'll be interesting to see if like conversations can sit down and be had between the older movement and the younger movement, so we could all come along and be along, so we can get along.
It's all about what you want to know too. Like, you can't make excuses. We make a lot of excuses for people, but I think for me, when I came into the league, I wanted to know the older guys that was in the league when I was coming in, because I wanted to show them that respect. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's all what you want to know. If you don't want to know the people that came before you, then that's on you. You know what I'm saying? But it could, because you can be successful without knowing people before you. But at the same time, when you come into that moment where you in a position to show respect and pay homage, I think it's always good to do that.
You're definitely right about that.
Draymond, him and what's the guy's name?
Nurkic.
Nurkic squared off again. Jack, and that was a good-ass game. I don't know if you got a chance to see the game. Did you?
I watched it, yep.
Really good game. But Nurkic, after the game, kind of came off salty to me. That Draymond didn't deserve another chance. He didn't learn nothing. But I'm watching the game like, bro, you backed him down, got a little jump hook off, and did the double too small, like smacked the ground. And then coming back, I don't know if it's the next play or a few plays later, you turn your back on some disrespect shit, and he brings comes into you, barrels into you, and jump hooks you, and then he smacks it back. So I kind of saw the Nurkic shit as just some sucker shit from a standpoint of he got in your head, he beat you at your own game, and his team won. When both teams have been playing really well, his team won. But what was your take on the Draymond and Nurkic situation?
If the referees ain't calling no tech or no foul, y'all complaining about this man, y'all trying to control the way he played, trying to control his pass for all this game. If the referees don't call no tech, if they don't kick him out the game, shut up. I don't want to hear it. Point blank. That's the way he played. He's been playing like that for a long time. Y'all ask him to clean it up and do certain things. If the referees not calling it, it's way to play, Draymond.
You poked the bear. And then the bear got going and put up a nice game and helped his team win. And then you want to bad talk him, talking about he don't deserve another chance. That was some clown shit. After the game, KD said Steph is top five ever. I mean, that boy was cooking. Steph Curry, the way he continues to just take the – not even shock nobody. I mean, we expect it from, but the fact that he continues to do it on the biggest stage at the most important time, is he a top five guy, Jack? Or does he have a chance to be top five when he's done? And will he be regarded as the point guard of all time? There's some older players. I mean, I'm a Magic Johnson fan, but talk about Steph and his greatness.
I look at it like this. We talk – okay, we definitely putting Bron in the top – three, top five, right? We're definitely putting Braun, if not, there's no slot people got Braun number one. Steph has won the most in this era with Braun in it. So how could you not put him there? You see what I'm saying? Like, people got their own ways of looking at stuff. I live in real time. I live in a real space. I don't live with hypotheticals. I live in real time, right? And we're talking about Steph Curry, doing his career and the way his career is looking and the championship he has. He has one more than LeBron. So if we're going to put LeBron in that category, how can we not put Steph in that?
I think that's the argument when people are trying to say, like, who's won. And they say MJ's main thing was he kept a lot of greats from not eating, a lot of greats from not getting an opportunity to get those rings. You know what I mean? So, like, I think they moved the bar and raised the bar, moved the goalposts every time we talk about the hierarchy and what they consider it. But I definitely think that Steph has a chance to finish top five all time. I'm not even mad at that. Greatest shooter of all time, continues to defy age. Game's incredible still. A silent leader, a dynasty run. I mean, I don't really think there's nothing bad you could say. All right, Jack, before we get out of here, I wanted to touch on one more thing. Steph with and without Dre. While Dre was gone, Steph was at 23 points a game. With him back, he's at nearly 33 a game. His field goal percentage while he was gone was 40%. Now it's at 52%. Three-point percentage, 36%. Now it's nearly 49%. So that Draymond Green effect is real. These guys know each other like the back of their hand, and both very high IQ players. And obviously, and I've always said, because people, this guy's not a Hall of Famer, he's not this and that. This guy is the heart and soul of that team. And I'm glad that he's been able to use the experiences from the past to better himself and understand how important he is to this team. Obviously, he's not the same player he used to be, but still has a lot of the tank, similar to Clay. Clay would recently talked about possibly taking less money to stick there. Importance of, in your opinion, Jack, keeping these three together
for the duration of their career?
I think they should, man. I think they have a chance to do what Tim Tony and Ginobili did, man. Stay together for their whole career, build a dynasty, and do something special that most guys don't get a chance to do in their career. I think it's smart for Klay. You know, I think he also doing some looking in the mirror where he's understanding that he still can play this game at a high level, but he's not the player that he once was, and he's getting older, you know, dealing with two major surgeries. So the fact that he understands that, take a little bit less money, try to win another championship or two before they leave out right off in the sunset is the best situation for him. And I think all those guys need to look at that and ride it out together.
Yeah. Not mad at that. Warriors playing really well. I think 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 games. I think they've realized that Looney and Draymond can't necessarily play together. I think Looney coming off the bench in the emergence of Kuminga. This team, you know, I don't want to see this team in the first round if I'm one of them younger teams, because it ain't going to be sweet. It ain't going to be easy. Jack, buyouts after the deadline. Were these buyouts or trades or both?
Trades. Dinwiddie was a buyout. Dinwiddie was a buyout.
Oh, okay. So, Jack, we're going to discuss some buyouts and some trades and what we feel like these people can do. First of all, Pat Bev to Milwaukee.
I love that. I mean, I love that because now he could be that voice. Dame is a great player. He's a leader of that team, but he's not a vocal leader. I think to have that toughness and Pat Beverly being there, you know, another voice in the locker room sometimes when Doc can't get across to the guys, he's something that they definitely need.
I like the Pat Beverly acquisition. I think they made a mistake letting P.J. Tucker go because I think he was that guy for them when they did win that championship. Obviously, Giannis being Giannis and being the best player on the team, you always need guys like a Pat Bev. So I'm interested to see what he still has in the tank. Dallas, you know, obviously considering who they were playing, looked really good with P.J. Washington and Gafford. They needed some more size. They went out and got Gafford and then P.J. Washington, a really nice young player. You know, I think they can make some noise. Thoughts with Bogdan Bogdanovic and Alex Burke, which they're not mentioning, which I also think could be a key piece to them, to the Knicks. What do you think about that?
Burke was there before. I think Bogdanovic, yeah. this is a great pickup because, yep. You know, I love Julius Randle, but, you know, I just think sometimes when people key on his left hand, he disappears. You know, when they game plan against his left hand to make him go right. But Bogdanovic can score that thing in a heartbeat. Absolutely. He can shoot it, he can pass, and he's confident. So with his experience, I think that makes this team a better team in the Eastern Conference right now.
I agree. And again, Alex Burke is someone who can give you 30, but also sets them up, you know, to have some assets and picks and be in a situation to catch a superstar next year. You know, it would be interesting to see what kind of superstar they can come in and fit in that dynamic. But they're lining themselves up the right way to be able to add that one more piece, because I feel like they can fuck around and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's how well they're playing and with the talent they have. But I still feel like they need a piece. And I think they're lining themselves up for that piece. I mean, Bron to this team right here, I would say that's a championship contender. There's no question about it. You know, any good team that Bron goes to is a championship contender, but definitely that Knicks team. So Lowry to the Sixers gets a chance to go home. I don't know how much Lowry has in the tank, but always a very smart, high IQ guy that knows his role. Thoughts on that move?
I think it's just good for him to go home. I don't think the team is good enough where you're going to get the best Kyle Lowry. Not saying Kyle can't still play, but Kyle is the guy that is the thinker for the team. He needs to be on a good team where he can orchestrate, run the team, and lead the team defensively in the playoff style of way, right? He's not the guy just to be there or what the Sixers are. Now, not having Big Fella too, who knows what this Sixers team going to be. So if you're not fighting for a championship, if you're not a playoff team, me knowing Kyle Lowry, you're not going to get the best out of him. But it's good for him to be at home.
Dinwiddie to the Lakers. He gets to go back to L.A. Another guy that could put the ball in the basket. Definitely not mad at this move because you get him for the low as well.
I just want to see him do something, bro. Like, I mean, he's been around. He's been a scorer in a lot of places. But, you know what I'm saying? Just I want to see him make an impact somewhere.
Some meaningful, you know, buckets.
Yeah, but, you know, but, I mean, off the court, he's one of the smartest people in the league. You know what I'm saying? We all know that. But on the court, I want to see him make a difference on some team. Yeah, he scored a lot of points different places. He's one of those free thinker type of guys. I want to see him make an impact on the team in the playoffs and the championship or something like that so he can gain his respect.
Last but not least, Gordon Hayward to a young OKC team. I think if Gordon could stay healthy, I still think he's a 14 to 16 points a game scorer with that young team. I definitely think he can help them out in ways. Snoop and Master P, Jack, they're trying to play our folks. You know a little bit about this story, but the headline is, you know, Snoop and Master P are going to sue Post, who first and foremost tried to buy the Brodish brand, and then they respectfully declined. And Walmart, they're up to some funny business. Jack, talk to me about this.
This is what they're doing. When you walk in stores, you see, you know, all the cereals, Kellogg's, Cheerios, all the major cereals. And when they run out, you know, basically soon before, when they're at the last two boxes, they make sure inventory comes back and fills it back up. Well, with Snoop and the Master P series, the Snoop Loops, they hot right now. And we supporting our people. And everybody, as soon as they put them on a rack, we buying them to support them. Well, to deflect that, to stop them, stop us from supporting them so much, they're not restocking the aisles like they do with all the other major brands. So they make it so when people coming in looking for them, they're staying there, they're out. Mm. But if you go in the back, shout out to my boy B-Mac Fly for making the video. When you go in the back, you see that there's loads and loads still and pallets mm-hmm. of Snoop cereal sitting back there. So what they're trying to do is control the narrative and try to stop Snoop and Master P from winning. But I'm glad his eyes on it. I'm glad there's people like B-Mac Fly bring this to attention, because we are supporting our people. And that's what we're supposed to do. But y'all see how they still can control the narrative if we're not paying attention.
2024, man. People not going for it no more. The bullshit is going to be exposed. Jack, this Thursday, Dan Le Batard drops. You also got a chance to go out and spend some time with him and Poppy in Miami. You guys shot something out there. But again, excited. Shout out him and John Skipper. Really excited to be in partnership with Metal Lark. Interesting dude. You know, we got a chance to get to know each other on different levels, our trip to New York. But, you know, definitely excited to be partnered with them. And good episode we had with him, too.
Yeah, we had a great episode with Dan. I think he's somebody that, you know, me and you had a relationship with before. And he's a very intelligent guy. You know, he looks at everything evenly. And I love to have a partnership with him. And, you know, like I said, I've realized that we have more in common than I thought. And I think our relationship is growing daily.
Shout out to the Metal Art team. Jack, we're off to Indiana, your former stomping grounds, nearly 20 years removed since the Malice. Are you looking forward to us getting back out there? Real quick before you answer that, I remember we went to Indiana not too long after you got traded. Remember you took the whole team in the basement. We blew it down. The whole Golden State team. Remember that? We all went to your crib.
Yes,
we
were
high as the cost of living out there in Indiana, boy.
Yes, sir. I got traded, but I still had my house there. So mm-hmm. we took full advantage of that. But I'm happy to go back, man. When I get back, I'm not ever talking about the shooting. Once I go back this time, if anybody asks me about it, I'm going to say somebody, but I'm never talking about it after that, because I've talked to people from Indiana. I've talked to some of my teammates, and I've talked to people that was there. I've heard 300 different stories, and all I remember is me getting hit by a car. So therefore, I don't even want to talk about this. I almost died, so I ain't going to talk about them, but I'm glad I could put that to rest. But it's going to feel good to go back, because with all the bullshit, I got a lot of love there. You know what I'm saying? I got a great relationship with Donnie Walsh, with the team, the owner's daughters, and the city. You know, besides that one incident, the city loved me. So it's going to be good to get back, and we got a great chance to catch up with Mike Epps, you know, while we out there shooting. So I'm excited.
Yeah, no, definitely got some good shows coming down the pipeline. It's going to be cold as shit, but we're going to be out there representing. So definitely looking forward to getting out to All-Star. Also, talent announcement. We got some stay tunes to – we got some new talent, man, under All the Smoke Productions. We're going to be introducing our new roster soon. We're not just a podcast no more. We're out here doing our thing on the business side too. So some great acquisitions. Excited to share that with everybody. But Jack, good show. I will catch you next week. You can catch this on DraftKings Network and the All the Smoke Productions YouTube.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes,
with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.